You had a need to, I think you need some headphones for translation.
Unfortunately,
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Do you have it ready?
I've got it ready. I just need to pick the channel.
Okay.
Canal 2.
Channel 2. Yes. Okay, thank you. Muito bom dia, Sr. Ministro dos Negócios Estrangeiros da República da Sérvia. Creio que esta é a sua primeira visita a Portugal. Pelo menos não tenho indicação de que nos tenha visitado antes. E espero que o possamos receber tão bem quanto o nosso clima o está já a receber. As relações entre Portugal e a República da Sérvia são algo a que esta Comissão dos Assuntos Europeus tem dedicado algum tempo. Já conversámos mais do que uma vez com altos responsáveis do governo da Sérvia e temos mantido também um diálogo muito estreito e muito amigo com o Sr. Embaixador. Esta sua visita, em nosso entender, insere-se nesse relacionamento e nesse interesse mútuo no relacionamento entre os dois países. A Sérvia está envolvida num processo que nós acompanhamos com interesse e com apoio de adesão à União Europeia, ou de pré-candidatura à União Europeia. Sabemos que se trata de um processo de grande importância para a Sérvia, mas também é um processo, em nosso entender, de grande importância para a própria União Europeia. E Portugal é, tradicionalmente, um país que apoia o alargamento. E assim continua a suceder. Em relação à Sérvia, isso justifica-se, aliás, por várias e diferentes razões, designadamente o facto de ser mais um país do sul da Europa, mas também o facto de se tratar de um país que integra uma região importante para a Europa, cuja estabilização e desenvolvimento económico são um fator relevante para a política europeia futura. Connosco temos hoje representantes, por enquanto, eventualmente chegarão outros membros desta comissão, mas temos, por enquanto, representantes de dois partidos, do Partido Socialista e do Partido Social Democrata. O Partido Socialista é o partido, neste momento, maioritário, que está no governo, e o Partido Social Democrata é o principal partido da oposição. Depois, numa segunda intervenção, apresentarei os senhores deputados presentes, mas daria agora a palavra ao Sr. Ministro dos Negócios Estrangeiros da República da Sérvia. Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's really a great pleasure to be here this morning and it's a very beautiful morning indeed in Lisbon. This is not the first time that I'm blessed with the opportunity to visit your country. I have a chance to visit before. It was a private function once, and once I was just flown through Lisbon, and this was really just my going swiftly to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and back to the airport. But this is probably the longest time that I'm staying here. And this is certainly the first time that I have a chance to go to the Parliament. So thank you for the very warm welcome. Each and every time I'm here, I'm indeed welcomed in the most fascinating way. I was I was met by the ambassador last night. I landed in very, very late last night, and ambassador was there, actually accompanied by his wife. And I had to say that I was really impressed with a warm welcome that I received. But generally speaking, I feel very well here, and I'm passing on the, first of all, I have a duty to pass on the greetings of the Madam Speaker of our Parliament, who was in the visit here in Portugal recently. My understanding is that this was really a very good visit, and I'm very happy that the frequency of high-level visits is pretty high between Serbia and Portugal. I will always remember that my first meeting, first bilateral meeting after I was sworn in as a Minister of Foreign Affairs, was a meeting with Luís Chamada, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Portugal. And since then, since my first day, actually it was my second day in office, since my second day in office, we've had a very good and close relationship. And I think that the relationship that I have with the Minister of Foreign Affairs actually is a paradigm of a relations that we enjoy between Serbia and Portugal. And I want to say that I'm very grateful for the support that we feel we enjoy by a spectrum of parties, not just the party of government, but also the party of opposition and all the parties in the Portuguese parliament. I want to assure you that feeling is mutual when it comes to the political parties in Serbia. The relations between Portugal and Serbia is not a partisan affair. It cuts across the lines and it cuts across the aisle. This is really a very difficult moment and very important moment when it comes to building the European future, not just of Serbia, but I think the European future in general. It's a moment of crisis economically. We can feel it everywhere. I can feel it everywhere because I travel a lot, but I assure you that in Serbia it's taking its toll already. And this is also institutionally for Europe a moment that is a moment in which all of us need to put our heads together as to see how to proceed with regard to some key issues, including the issue of enlargement of the European Union. For us, of course, who are a country that is an aspirant to membership in the European Union, it is of a vital importance that the process of enlargement does not stall. Balkans is probably the last unintegrated part of the European geography proper, if you will. And the project of completing Europe, the project of uniting Europe is not going to be finished before the Western Balkans accedes to the European Union. My government is firmly committed to the European future of Serbia and the entire Western Balkans, and I want to say that we're very thankful for the position of Portugal, which is strongly in favor of accelerating the European accession. But this is not an easy moment. There are obstacles in the way. Some of these obstacles are political. I look forward to discussing these obstacles with your minister, but here I would like to say that we are not currently proceeding as fast as we believe we should. And I hope that in the future, in the near future, we are going to be able to consolidate support that we have by various European countries, including Portugal, into an energy needed to make the process of European integration of Serbia faster, quicker, and more successful. I hope that we are now full, that all the members of the parties are there. Yes. Not yet. Yes. Anyway. As I say, this is not a party thing. The relationship that we have with Portugal, I come from a social democratic party. That's called the Democratic Party, but we're social democrats. But I can only say to you that I would like to live in a country in which one party is socialist, the other is social democratic. Although I know this is historical, these are historical namings, but still, what I want to underline is that we are grateful for the support, and I am personally grateful for the very warm welcome that I'm having this morning in the Parliament.
Thank you so much. I think you have also a Democratic Party and Democratic Party of Serbia or something like this. So it's somewhat misleading. Bom, vou talvez começar por apresentar os membros da Comissão. De facto, não estamos ainda completos, uma vez que temos um conjunto de deputados, de 21 deputados, mas normalmente as nossas reuniões não têm tantos membros assim. Vou começar aqui pela minha direita, o deputado Mário David, que é o coordenador dos deputados do PSD nesta Comissão de Assuntos Europeus. Depois a senhora deputada Alcídia Lopes, do PS, depois o senhor deputado Jorge Barradas, do PS também, e a senhora deputada Maria Manuel Oliveira, igualmente do PS. Depois, à esquerda, temos o senhor deputado José Freire Antunes, do PSD, o senhor deputado Jacinto Serrão, do PS, e ali, naquela ponta, o senhor deputado Luís Paes Antunes, do PSD. Não temos, por enquanto, ainda nenhum representante de outros partidos, designadamente do CDS-PP, do PCP e do Bloco de Esquerda, que têm menos deputados nesta comissão. O Sr. Ministro, e antes de dar a palavra aos meus colegas para também eles fazerem as perguntas que entenderem, o Sr. Ministro falou de obstáculos à adesão da União Europeia, à União Europeia por parte da Sérvia. Obstáculos. Eu creio que, quando se fala de obstáculos, certamente eles existem, quer do lado da própria União Europeia, e sabemos que há alguns Estados-membros que são muito rigorosos na exigência, por exemplo, de que a República da Sérvia tenha uma colaboração plena com o Tribunal da Haia por causa de alguns dos indivíduos que estão indiciados pela prática de crimes de guerra durante os acontecimentos dos Balcãs. Existem, portanto, certamente obstáculos do lado da União Europeia, obstáculos que Portugal, pelo seu lado, procurará sempre ajudar a ultrapassar, mas existem, segundo creio eu, também alguns obstáculos do lado da própria Sérvia, resultantes, em alguma medida, do difícil ou delicado equilíbrio político interno. E eu gostaria de deixar esta pergunta, que é obviamente uma pergunta muito genérica, mas deixar esta pergunta, como é que o Sr. Ministro vê esses obstáculos, os principais que existem, e de que forma é que eles podem ser ultrapassados, e, se quiser também pronunciar-se sobre isso, de que modo é que Portugal poderá contribuir para que isso aconteça.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think that this is really a direct question. The matter of integrating Serbia and the Western Balkans into the European Union, in my opinion and in our way of thinking, is probably the only way we can solve the outstanding issues that exist in the Western Balkans. I don't want to get too deep into the issues that we see as outstanding. There's the issue of the status of Kosovo. There is the issue of the unity of Bosnia and Herzegovina as a united and independent country. There are issues that need to be still worked on in order to make sure that there's peace and stability. The framework within which we can solve these problems in a way that ensure peace and stability is through integration of the entire space in the European Union. That's the framework. And I think that in that sense, Serbia is probably a key country because of the simply because of the gravity, because of the weight, because of the geography, because of the sway that Serbia has in the Western Balkans. History teaches us that if Serbia goes right, quote-unquote right, in the right direction, the Balkans go in the right direction. If Serbia goes, if Serbia stumbles, the entire region stumbles. Right now, Serbia has as its priority to join the European Union and to push forward with the European process. One political condition that exists, in addition to Copenhagen criteria for membership, is the full cooperation with the War Crime Tribunal in The Hague. Full cooperation with the War Crime Tribunal in The Hague, we see as doing everything that is physically and godly possible in order to make sure that there are no more indictees at large. 46 Serb individuals, Serbian citizens, were indicted throughout the 1990s for war crimes. 44 out of these 46 have been found through the agile engagement of successive Serbian governments. There are two more indictees that are still at large. And Serbia is spending day and night, our services are doing everything that is in our power to make sure that these two are no longer free. Serbian government is taking this as a priority. Serbian government is now making this effort an international effort, a very transparent international effort. Serbian government is doing everything that we can. And I think we demonstrated our seriousness that when we were sworn in, that was in July of last year, very swiftly after seizing the agencies, of the relevant agencies, we used information that was on the record, and one of the big indictees, Radovan Karadzic, was found maybe 2 weeks after the government took over in Belgrade. That caused a lot of locomotion in Serbia. Cooperation with The Hague is not popular with all the layers of the society, but government is nonetheless absolutely steadfast and determined in carrying this process through. The problem now that we have is becoming a political problem. When there is reluctance to believe that we're fully cooperating, this is becoming a political obstacle and a political problem, a psychological problem in the society. One country has a very firm definition of what a full cooperation means. This is Holland. And Holland has this stance that full cooperation may only mean when you actually find the indictees and make sure that they're behind the bars in The Hague. Well, that's what we're after. But we haven't been successful yet. Sometimes it's not easy to find these guys. And the fact that we are doing everything that we can is supported by a number of agencies that are cooperating with us, international agencies that are cooperating with us on the terrain. I think that we cannot waste any more time because a dangerous vacuum is being formed in the Balkans. Serbia got the most pro-European government in its history on July 7 of 2008, having gone through some very difficult challenges in 2008, starting with Kosovo. Now these challenges are compounded by the difficulties arising from the economic crisis. Now the one bad piece of news when it comes to this most pro-European government of Serbia is that it has not been allowed to move one step along the path of European integration ever since it was sworn in on July 7. I have full understanding of the difficulties that prevail in the Union. These are the days, the difficult days, you know, we can call it, you know, the Battle of Lisbon, if you will, institutional part of it. the battle for the Lisbon Treaty and for the institutional framework that would allow for the continuation of the process of enlargement. These are not easy economic times, but I think that the price that all of us, starting with us in the region, the price that we will have to pay if we lose this opportunity to integrate the Balkans now when the enthusiasm for enlargement is at an all-time high, I think that the price will end up being much, much, much higher. So the friendly countries, like Portugal, the countries that have so far understood very well and fought very hard for the enlargement, to you I can only say we need your active engagement with your partners who are not as positive and not as enthusiastic. Because practically speaking, we need to unfreeze the process of Serbian accession to the European Union because we are fully cooperating and we are therefore fulfilling the conditions set in front of us for accession. And when it comes to the Portuguese Parliament, once the stabilization and association agreement between Serbia and the European Union comes, it would be very important that it is swiftly ratified, as soon as you can, of course, given your schedule. This year, we want to submit application for membership in the European Union. This year, the European Council is going to decide on whether to send this application swiftly to the European Commission for an AV on its merits. We need this to be happening smoothly and as quickly as possible. This is something that I'm going to raise, of course, with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, but this is what we need on a wider level. There are open issues in the Balkans. And one of the open issues is the issue of Kosovo. Serbia wants to work with its European partners to compartmentalize the fallout. One thing we cannot do, and I would like to say this very, very clear, because I want to be honest and transparent about this, because we see you and other European countries as future partners in the European Union. So I think it's really good that we have full transparency and understanding of where we come from, respectively. One thing that Serbia cannot do is to recognize the unilateral declaration of independence of Kosovo. For us, this was an ethnically motivated attempt at secession. And as such, we cannot recognize it. It would be anti-constitutional and absolutely unsustainable politically. So, one thing that I want to say to you is, it's going to be our common task to find ways of not overstepping each other's hopefully reasonably drawn red lines when it comes to this issue. Now, I think this is quite possible. I think we don't need to run into each other's face over this, but I would most honestly and humbly ask you to respect that for us the issue of Kosovo is extremely delicate indeed. If we find ways of living together and working together despite these differences, I think we stand a very good chance of making a historical step forward in the Balkans. The Serbian government is ready for that. Thanks.
Muito obrigado. Queria também apenas assinalar, entretanto, a chegada do Sr. Deputado Nuno Magalhães, do CDS-PP. Iria dar agora a palavra à Sra. Deputada Maria Manuel Oliveira para fazer a sua intervenção.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Antes de mais, quero felicitar o Sr. Ministro dos Negócios Estrangeiros e a sua comitiva e desejar-lhes uma boa estadia em Portugal. Bem-vindos à Assembleia da República Portuguesa. A minha questão tem a ver com a crise global que atravessa este planeta Conforme foi dito aqui, já foi assinado por parte da Sérvia o acordo de pré-adesão. Foi só aqui, portanto, destacado o fator político, portanto, questões do âmbito político que estão a ser obstáculo, digamos assim, à celeridade do processo, mas eu gostaria de perguntar se, no âmbito dos critérios de Copenhaga e, mais concretamente, no que diz respeito à sustentabilidade económica, quais são as estratégias de combate à crise que a Sérvia delineou e está a aplicar e, nesse domínio também, qual o tipo de interação com os restantes Estados-membros. O que eu quero, concretamente, o que eu gostaria de saber era como estão a ser operacionalizados os meios para combater a crise económica interna e sustentável, portanto, e na relação com o exterior, colaborar por forma a dar uma maior sustentabilidade ao, portanto, ao combate à crise, digamos assim. Muito obrigada e um bom dia e mais uma vez uma boa estada em Portugal.
Sr. Deputado Mário David, se quiser também fazer a sua intervenção, se algum dos senhores deputados quiser escrever, Sr. Deputado Magalhães, depois a seguir.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Minister, first of all, on behalf of the PSD, a warm welcome to Portugal and to the National Parliament. And I would like to thank you for your introductory words. I guess that you are aware of the different positions that different parties have taken here in Portugal on the Kosovo issue. And all I can say to summarize it is that I'm very happy that my personal friend and the gentleman sitting next to you, Dusko Lopandic, he could remain in Portugal during all the time, and he did not have to spend some time in Belgrade. I'm sure he would love to go back for some time, but I'm glad that he managed to stay here while some of his colleagues have to be called home for some time. And to briefly also mention to you our position, you have referred to the question of how difficult it would be for Serbia in the path to Europe to be kind of forced, put it between brackets, to recognize Kosovo. Let me state it in one single sentence. I would be extremely disappointed if in my lifetime I would see Serbia recognizing Kosovo. I think this would be a question of breaking principles, and I have too many Serbian friends to think that you would go that way. I happen to be Minister EPP Vice President, so you can understand that I have, even personal relations with your former Prime Minister Kostunica. But of course we are very happy that G17 belongs to the current coalition, and that the fact that there is a real pro-European government and pro-membership in Serbia. This was extremely difficult, and as you know, I mean, I guess that I mean our political family, we tried to play some kind of role. There were some voices asking for the ousting of Kostunica, as you know, from the EPP, because of the positions that were taken during the campaign for your elections in July or in June, and we are happy that everything has smoothly faded down, and I think that there's a good contribution that they can give to the future of Serbia as well, and we are happy about the role that G17 is playing. There's one thing that you will allow me to remind you on the issue of engaging negotiations, and when you say that one of the conditions that has been added to the question of Serbia is the full commitment to and the full cooperation with the Hague Tribunal. Of course, we endorse that fully, and we hope that your government is doing the same. What I would recall is what has happened with General Costunita, General Gotovina, which in the end, for Croatian sake, was found in the Spanish islands, enjoying the sunshine there. I mean, and I have very close relations with the government in Zagreb, as you may guess. And how delighted they were, I mean, to prove that they were right when, I mean, they had no means of getting in the territory of Croatia, neither in any nearby country that could eventually give them some help. So I think that, of course we all remember Carla Del Ponte statements all the time. I mean, she was spotting Gotovina every second week in somewhere in Croatia, and then in the end, he wasn't there. So I guess that this is a good example and a good precedent that eventually you should use, and I think that everyone should praise the efforts that your government has done, the fact that this good achievement you managed to deliver 2 weeks after the being sworn in. Let me also mention that as we are talking about the area, I'm very worried, and as they belong to your political family, there's something you should do about it also, because this can be a precedent, about the new role that the Slovenian new government is doing regarding Croatian membership. They are putting all the brakes they can into the process. And if this is happening to Croatia, this will, of course, be prolonged to Serbia as well. This is something that we don't understand. But the fact is that they are trying to block absolutely everything that every chapter that could eventually be open, every chapter that could eventually be closed. The new Slovenian government is trying to, and is actually blocking absolutely everything. So, briefly, on behalf of the PSD in this parliament, you can count on a firm support of your application to future membership of the Union. Actually, I don't see any grounds how the Council could eventually act otherwise, since Thessalonica, you have already been granted the perspective of future membership. So, with the policy that your government, the current government, is pursuing, with the daily practice, not only the words, but the daily practice that we are witnessing, we just wish you good luck and speed it up, please.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Queria assinalar também a presença do Sr. Deputado Nuno Antão, que chegou agora. Queria assinalar a presença do Sr. Deputado Nuno Antão, do Partido Socialista, que chegou agora, e dou a palavra ao Sr. Deputado Nuno Magalhães, do CDS-PP.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Minister, in my personal behalf and also in behalf of from CDS-PP, welcome to Portugal. Thank you very much indeed for your presentation. Unluckily, I was in another committee and I lost only 5 minutes, I believe, of your presentation, but I fully understand your concerns and what you're trying to tell us. And let me be very clear and very honest about CDS-PP position, which is a public position and a full month's position. We recognize all the progress and all the efforts from the Serbian government in all areas to become European Union membership, especially in justice and internal affairs. We fully recognize that and we understand that. So we think that the European Union, and of course Portugal, should have another level of understanding with Serbia and with Serbian government. So you can count on us on the full commitment in the Serbia issue. We also think that Serbia and the relationship between European Union and Serbia could be essential for the stability of Balkans, which is for us a priority, and also for a full European vision of this region, as also we see European Union as a European project and also an Atlantic project. So We of course understand that the European Union has some difficulties now. Some, Minister, you said quite well about the Lisbon Treaty, but we think that it is time to the financial, the economical crisis, and also the institutional problem about the Lisbon Treaty should not interfere in other issues like Croatia can be membership or Serbia could be membership. I think Europe should not simply stop, despite the crisis. Of course, it is very, very important issue. And in the end, let me be very clear about our position about Kosovo. And we said that in this parliament and to the Portuguese government. We think that the issue of Kosovo, it's very delicate, as you said, Minister, but for us it's very clear. We shouldn't allow a unilateral declaration of independence. This is, for us, unacceptable, and the European Union should not allow that, and should have another kind of consider for Serbia. And I think we don't think that there is indeed any kind of priority for the European Union to have a Muslim state inside the European Union and in the middle of Europe. So we were very clear about that. We think that the European Union and Portugal should stop, should think, should allow that the negotiations between Serbia, Kosovo, Croatia could be more deep, and we think it was truly a mistake. So I think I was very clear, so you can count with full support of CDSPP here in the Parliament in terms of a new membership of Serbia. Thank you very much.
O Sr. Ministro, se quiser agora pronunciar-se sobre estas questões que foram aqui trazidas pelos deputados membros da Comissão.
Absolutely, thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody collectively for the very, very warm words of encouragement. But I'll try and address the specific questions and the specific issues that each of you raised. First of all, to do with the economy, Serbia is hit. Serbia feels the beginning of the economic crisis. It came through the banks because we have privatized our banks, and they're now mostly foreign-owned. So we are part of the globalized financial sector, and once you're part of this sector, you inevitably start feeling the consequences of the international developments in the economic and, first of all, financial sphere. But we acted very early on, and we have a rescue package of our own, which is cut to proportion, of course, to the country. The government passed fiscal stimuli for the economy. They're going to be focused on infrastructure building. Another thing is to guarantee... is the guarantee bank deposits. So bank deposits up to 50,000 euros are guaranteed in Serbia. That stopped at the very beginning what started looking like a financial meltdown. And Serbia has an IMF standby arrangement for preserving macroeconomic stability. It may be the case that we enter another arrangement with the IMF in a couple of months from now that would result in an actual loan, not just a standby arrangement, but an actual loan from the IMF. We still haven't decided whether this is going to be the way forward, but we are working with the IMF on this issue. I think that the macroeconomic picture in Serbia is stable. We had a depreciation of the currency, but that depreciation has been limited. And right now the exchange rate is stabilizing. But the months ahead of us are going to be hopefully the months of building infrastructure. And that's how we're going to try and stimulate the economy. This is now the time where cooperation in building infrastructure can be established between countries. And this may be one of the fields where Serbia and Portugal can work together next year. You were exceptionally successful when it comes to infrastructure building in your countries. You've got the expertise. I think we can try and engage on this issue. But we're trying to follow the recipes of European governments and other governments of the world in fighting the recession. Well, we're still not in recession. We hope that we can survive the 2009. We can get through the 2009 without recession. This is the target of our government, not to get into the recession. We had relatively good rates of growth so far, so the growth is going to be cut down. It's not going to be as high as we had hoped, but I think it is not impossible to avoid recession in 2009 in Serbia. As far as these comments, your comments, sir, I want to thank you very much for the support that our ambassador has and for the work and cooperation that you have with our ambassador. He told me about this. I want to say that we're very grateful. You also have a very good ambassador in Belgrade. Really, really deeply engaged and well-known ambassador in Belgrade. So I think that they're making up a very good couple that are making sure that our relations are on a daily basis between our countries are taken care of. I think that your sentiment about the possibility of Serbia's recognizing Kosovo is very much shared by 99% of citizens of Serbia. I think that Serbia would be historically disappointed with any government, with any politician, with any political force that would contemplate explicit or implicit gestures that would have the disposition of recognizing of the secession. So, in that sense, I think you're not going to be disappointed. So don't worry on this one. I think that it's very important that G17, our party, our coalition partner that is a member of the EPP, gets more deeply engaged with the EPP. I think we really need a strong party inside the EPP. I'm personally very sad that our previous partner, Prime Minister Kostunica, has not made a full use of the goodwill that I'm sure he could have used in the EPP. I mean, we come from a different family. We come from the socialist family, but we've always felt that.
I know.
And that's what my family's saying to me as well. But that was really suboptimal what Serbia did during the time and not made a full use of the center-right contacts that Prime Minister Kostunica could have had. With the number of parties in there. But anyway, I think it's important that G17 works very closely with you. They're good friends of ours and the government, and we're working closely together there. You mentioned the issue of Croatia and how they dealt with the problem that they faced with the General Gotovina at the time. Serbia asked the European Union to apply the same rules like with Croatia, because Croatia's process was not blocked. It was running. Serbian process is blocked, and I think that is not fair. I know that there are just one country, it's Holland, but they're very, very strong about this, that they're not convinced that we're fully cooperating with The Hague. Everybody else is convinced, but they're not. So what we said is, why don't you come and check? We invited the fact-finding mission of the European Union to come and to check and to see for themselves. And that was actually a precedent set in the case of Croatia. Croatia had difficulty with Gotovina, but there was what they called at the time a task force that engaged with Croatia and made sure that Croatia is fully cooperating with The Hague so that the Croatian process of accession did not suffer and was not slowed down. What is truly disappointing for us is that it's not only that there is no consensus so that the process cannot be unfrozen, but it's that the fact-finding mission is not going to be sent. So it means that the European Union doesn't want to have additional information about what we are exactly doing with regard to The Hague. And that happened in the case of Gotovina. Not to mention that Croatia was far after the SAA level when Gotovina was arrested, and we're not. So anyway, but I don't think that anybody should use this moment in the European history, this difficult moment in the history of the European Union, to frustrate the process of enlargement. Croatians have problems with Slovenians. We have problems with the Dutch. We know very well how it looks like. But I think for the sake of peace and stability, not just of the Balkans, but I'd say peace and stability and prosperity of the whole of Europe, we must move forward. Because you can't just like freeze the situation, turn to the, you know, your domestic problems inside Europe, whatnot, and then when the situation is better, turn to the European Southeast, to the Balkans again, and say, okay, now we're ready, now we do it. Because what would have happened in the meantime in Balkans would make it 10 times more difficult and 10 times more costly to do the integration. We mustn't use the current momentum. And the current momentum is waning. Enthusiasm is falling. So we shouldn't waste this opportunity. I mean, I know that I'm preaching to the choir when I'm in Lisbon, but we need your megaphone. This voice has to be amplified. We need you in your discussions with your European partners. Otherwise, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So, once again, thank you for the very strong position that coincides with ours on the issue of Kosovo. What is done is behind, but there are ways and ways of handling this right now. It doesn't have to be the end of the process. It doesn't have to be the end of the days when it comes to Kosovo. For us, it is extremely important that the process is now being considered by the International Court of Justice in The Hague. The issue of the legality of the Unilateral Declaration of Independence. We anticipate that the finding of the court is going to be such that it does not endorse the gesture, the unilateral declaration. And once we obtain this decision of the court, we hope that Serbia is not going to be in a position to be pressed to recognize after this finding is delivered. But it is vital that this judicial procedure is allowed to be carried out without political pressures. Because that happens from time to time in international relations and international justice as well. For us, it's important that there is no joint European action or something when it comes to the deliberations of the court. We should allow the court to proceed with their work in a fair, isolated, and unimpeded manner. And I think that's the best way for justice to be served. And that's the best way to assure that Serbia is not put in an impossible situation, that I am so happy you seem to understand very well the impossibility of such a situation for us. I hope I want to thank all of your respective parties for support. It is going to come up in front of you, hopefully soon, the stabilization and association agreement, the ratification thereof. Once again, I'd like to ask you to support us not just here in this parliament, but also in the European Parliament and your parties in the European Parliament and in the parliamentary assemblies of various multinational institutions. One last thing, when it comes to Kosovo, you recognize Kosovo as an independent state. That when it comes to accession of Kosovo or applications of the so-called Republic of Kosovo to international organizations, we have no choice but to vigorously counter accession of Kosovo to any organization where membership is a privilege of a sovereign and independent state. And this is the core constitutional necessity of what we need to do in international arena. I don't look forward to having to counter and to fight diplomatically, friends, when it comes to this issue. My opinion is that the situation is not ripe and that there are many other things in which we should really invest our energy than to confront each other over the issue of Kosovo's applications to various international organizations. Maybe this could be dealt with at another time. I'd just like to say this to you.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Ministro, pelas suas intervenções e informações que nos deixa. Não tenho, de momento, mais nenhuma inscrição, pelo que me resta agradecer mais uma vez a sua presença, bem como a presença do Sr. Embaixador Dusko, nosso amigo e que connosco contacta com muita frequência. Creio que todos nós estamos muito cientes da delicada posição da Sérvia em relação à questão do Kosovo. A União Europeia não cometeu ainda o erro, e creio que não o irá cometer, pelo menos com o apoio de Portugal, não fará certamente, de colocar como condição da adesão da Sérvia à União Europeia o reconhecimento do Kosovo. Creio que isso nunca irá suceder e seria um erro gravíssimo se viesse a acontecer. E, portanto, vamos concentrar-nos nos critérios de Copenhaga, vamos concentrar-nos nas regras que estão em vigor e nas condições que foram estabelecidas, e creio que poderemos dizer, como pôde constatar da volta à mesa que aqui fizemos, que tem da parte dos principais partidos portugueses representados nesta Assembleia da República, a Sérvia tem apoiantes sérios e empenhados em que o processo de adesão da Sérvia corra os seus termos de forma normal e o mais acelerada possível. Trabalharemos todos certamente nisso. Desejo-lhe um bom resto de reuniões, de agenda, com os vários responsáveis portugueses. Estará também com o Sr. Presidente da Assembleia da República no fim do dia, segundo creio, e espero que regresse mais vezes a Portugal. Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much indeed. I truly enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.